Hey guys, this is Cole Weicker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I
everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes Show. We are your green and gold gospel, your best source for year-round Rowdies coverage. We are coming at you live on Radio St. Pete Online and part of the Beautiful Game Network. We are presented in part by Roughneck Scarves and Taco Bus. My name is Stephen Cundiff. Joining me tonight, we've got a full crew because we've got a full season under the way. Matthew Cox, Daniel Andonino. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Well, done a lot of driving in the last 2 hours, and I actually have to leave early from tonight's show to do some more driving. So, I'm okay.
There's so many things I want to ask about your background right now, but I'm not going to. I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
You have questions about my wieners?
No, I don't think anybody has any questions about that.
All right, number one, I don't know if they're all, it looks like they're all somewhat the same. I would not eat any of those because they have mustard.
No, we're not turning this into a food takes podcast. We have a match to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, at this point, I'd rather do the food takes than that crap match. But, you know.
Oh, the joy we're feeling after the season's back right before the home opener. I feel the energy, boys.
This is really good because we have talked in the off season and we never got a chance to like sit down and do it, but we will at some point. About kind of remodeling the show, doing some renovations, and maybe even just flat out blowing some stuff up. And I am going to blow up the game recap segment. We're not doing the good, bad, ugly anymore. We're not doing a lot of stuff. I'm going to try something different. And I told you guys I was going to do something different, that I wasn't going to tell you what it was because I wanted some genuine reactions. I'm already very looking forward to it because I think it's going to work out exactly as I had thought. So the first thing, again, result, Legion and Rowdies drew 1-1 in Birmingham. As far as I know, like two-thirds of that game was unwatchable on television because it was in the Phantom Zone. But I think some things happened. Like, for all I know, there could have been three other goals in the second half. We just didn't see it because of the shade. They should have brought the high visibility ball out at some point. Would have made that a little bit easier. That was a little scary. So, Rowdy score first. Sebastian Dalgard, 34th minute on an assist from Ekra, and we got to give some love. It doesn't show up in the box score, but you have to give some love to Sebastian Winzati for starting that move with the equivalent of the pass I pulled off in a recent teacher-student basketball game where I just slapped the ball in the general direction of somebody because I was about to lose control of it. Held on. Almost able to see the match out. 86th minute, Marlon Santos with an assist from Prosper Kasim equalizes for Birmingham, about 40 yards out. Perfect strike. I don't know that there's anything differently could have been done. But going into this game, we all had a lot of questions. Questions like, who's going to be starting on the back line? Like the two biggest people to be replaced, not in terms of you know, these people themselves, but in who's going to fill these spots, were who was going to be stepping up to, in Forrest Lasso's spot, and who was going to be in between the sticks in Evan Loro's spot. We got it. We made some predictions. We got our answers. Robert Castellanos, the low knee from Nashville SC, got the start and 18 minutes later went down injured, taken off the field. Waiting for more info about that. Hopefully we'll get some more tomorrow. I'm going to be on the press call with Neil and hopefully we'll get some more info. CJ Cochran got the start in goal. We had questions about what is the formation going to look like? And going forward, it seemed to be kind of a 3-4-3 and maybe shifting a little bit to a 3-5-2 in defense. It's hard to make any, like, you know, definitive explanations off a game where you lose a starting center back in the first like 20 minutes. Lawrence White shifts back. Junior Eto comes on and both of them do very well, I would say. Are there any unanswered questions that you guys have from when we went into the game? Not because of anything that happened during the game, but was there anything that we were still, you were waiting to find out answers for before the game that you still didn't get an answer to?
Yeah, who's playing center back?
Well, you know who it was supposed to be.
I think the goalkeeper, Neil, didn't really settle the goalkeeper question. He said that, like, you know, Cochran got the start because of experience and then basically said, like, we'll see who's going to be there next week. So it's really not settled. I mean, I'm assuming Cochran, but Neil is stoking that fire still. So there is, I would say, I still have a question mark there. I do think the midfield has got some question marks still, especially with Castellanos going down. So that I think who's playing where in the midfield going is still going to be a question. But that's really the questions that haven't been answered is, like, who is the keeper going forward and how settled is that midfield?
So I asked Neil that question in the post-game press conference about the starters at some of these positions and what it was about Cochran that gave him the start over that. And he said, you know, it's the experience, especially playing on a fast surface, the ability to deal with some of the through balls, that Cochran got the nod because of experience, but that he'll be competing with Ryko all season long. But then he tacked on, as will every other player. So, it could be just a, hey, and we've seen Neil do this where certain guys have good weeks in practice and they get, you know, on the bench or in some cases start in a game if he gives a guy a breather or something. I don't know if it's really going to be a week-to-week competition or if that's something that's being said to keep both of these guys at a high level in practice. I don't know if those guys know either, because we know Neil can play some head games. So, but Steven, do you have any unanswered questions from before the game? Not who the hell's playing center back this week.
I think it was interesting because for me, a lot of it was what we were going to see with the central midfield and how players like Jake LaCava and an Ehrman were going to integrate into this team, and then neither one of them started. And that was baffling to me. Like, I was very much genuinely surprised at our starting 11. And, of course, now after the game, with everything that happened, with how that game played, that's yikes. Is the only word I have. You know, our friend John Morrissey did a great job of breaking down defensively, like, why we were able to prevent Birmingham from getting anything going. A lot of it has to do with the fact that our three strikers, well, forwards, whatever you want to call them, basically played back and centrally defensively very well. And so we weren't able to allow them any kind of ability to really build up the middle at all. And you could see that Birmingham had a struggle trying to build up any kind of offensive pressure at all. Lawrence White better be buying cakes to everybody up there, because that made a huge difference defensively. But our offense was, I mean, granted, it's the first dang season game. I mean, it's gonna be ugly, but my God, we could not pass a ball. We could not hold possession from anybody that started in the midfield, specifically center midfield more than anything. Like, it was bad. And it was worse because it wasn't the players that we thought would be playing in those roles to start the year.
Dan, how'd the starting lineup feel to you compared to what you thought or maybe expected to see?
I definitely expected not last year's lineup with Castellanos on the defense. I expected maybe, but I think it was more of a safe call going with the experience against a good Birmingham team on the road, opening a new building and the energy there. But I would have liked to probably have seen Jake Ehrman and or Jake LaCava earlier or to start just to mix things up a little bit. But I mean, it's the first game of a season. So, you know, no narratives should be written from it. Nothing should, like, don't be like, let's not be panicking. You know, let's just take that for what it is. It's a tough road point. Birmingham isn't a walkover game. That's like, they are a tough game. We didn't do ourselves any favors, especially early on. We looked, you know, a bit lost. But I think we did grow into that game a bit. But again, first game of the season, you know, like, things are still, some kinks are being worked out. And Neil said it in the press, the post game conference as well. Like, you know, that was fine for that game, but in 10 games, that performance is unacceptable. And that's exactly where I'm at. Like, it's just so early in the season. Like, it's the first game. It is what it is. Would we preferred 3 points? Yes, of course. You do that every game. It was 1 point what we expected. That's what I was expecting. Like, and we, you know, it was a tough fought game. It's not going to be easy to go into Birmingham at the home of the Tampa Bay Bandits and, you know, get a point or get a win.
Yeah. One of the things, and I when I was talking to Kaylor from Birmingham this week, one of the things that really struck me was, like, Birmingham was a good team last year. Like, we played them in the the Eastern Conference semifinals, and they got there by default because who was it, Pittsburgh that had to forfeit because of COVID. But Birmingham was still going to host that game. They were still the higher seed. They still had, you'd assume, at least at the very least a 50-50 chance of winning that game. They were a playoff team. They have improved their overall league position every year since they've come in, and they definitely improved their roster in the offseason, looking at some of the guys that come in and came in and some of the guys they got rid of. So I'm not too torn up about the, especially if you had told me we're going to come out of this with playing Lawrence White on the back line for, you know, 75 minutes of the game almost.
I also want to say, like, even the game, like the playoff game against Birmingham, was very similar, where, you know, like, they didn't get any real clear cut chances. They scored a worldly this time. They were like, that was a gorgeous goal. Like, in the postseason, you know, they couldn't do that. And it was a 1-0 game, if I recall correctly. Like, it was a tight affair, even in the playoffs. Like, and this team, and Birmingham only got better. And they still needed a, like, class goal. So, again, let's not, you know, get too down. Let this team grow a bit and get its feet back under them. And we'll see where it goes. And I have all the faith in Neil to do the little tweaks in training and whatnot.
Yeah, a road point is a road point. No matter what stage of the season you're in, I mean, that's especially against a team that's going to be an Eastern Conference final contending team. That is always going to be massively important, because there's going to be very few teams that go to Birmingham this year and get any points. Very, very few. So I think when you're looking at this game at the end of the season, you're going to look at this and say, wow, what a good job the Rowdies did getting a point in Birmingham. Right now, it just feels weird because there's obviously it's the beginning of the season. You know, it's like you watch that game and it's like, you know, 60-40 precision, whatever. My bigger takeaway from that game was passing accuracy going down to 74%. And we only completed like 360 passes. That's compared to, and here's my thing. Compared to Rowdies of the past with Neil Collins the last two seasons, those numbers are really, really low. And that's, to me, that was the only thing that was really frustrating is that it wasn't like it was an ugly draw. And in the context of a bubble of just a one game season, it's worrying. So it's and then, of course, you just add everything else to it. You know, the center defense situation, the goalkeeper questions, what's going on with the lineup in the midfield. And it's just you just kind of pile on the rest of it on top of that. And you're like, oh, God, this is exciting.
Yeah, the one of the things I noticed, and they mentioned it on the broadcast. I meant to go back and rewatch it again today, and I hadn't got a chance to. But I know this stuck in my head from watching it live. I looked at those stats after the game. The passes completed were crazy low compared to what the Rowdies have done in the past. That could, you know, who knows? Maybe that's a function of a different formation. But one of the things they mentioned on the broadcast was it was something like 86% of the Rowdies' passes were in Birmingham's end of the field. So that sounds a little better. I mean, 86 of 360 something is still not a ton, but they seem to, you know, create some more chances. We did get to see, you know, we mentioned the two Jakes and we mentioned some of the other newcomers. We did get to see them later on in the game. Jake LaCava had an opportunity. Jake Ehrman with a great shot saved by Matt Van Okel, and Kyle Gregg with an effort that went just wide of the post. Especially if you watch it on replay, it's like, oh man, a gust of wind and we've got 3 points out of that one. What'd you guys think from the things we did see?
I want just to talk about that Kyle Gregg chance. He also had a defender. Yeah, like he had a defender draped all over him. And like so that was an effort on its own to be able to get that shot off. But you know, whatever. I mean, Jake Ehrman, that shot from distance is something this team didn't have last season, really. So having a midfielder that's not afraid to take some rips is, you know, something I'm really excited about. I would have liked Lewis Hilton to do that more or Jan Ekra to do that more. But if Ehrman's going to cut in and take some rips from distance, I'm all for it, especially if you get Seba making a run for a rebound or something, you know, like, make a little play out of that, but we'll see. Jake LaCava is a spark plug. He's going to bring energy into a game, whether he starts or he comes off the bench. I think that's something to look forward to. Hopefully he gets some more minutes there. So I'm excited by these by the signings. We were excited going in, and the bit they were able to show at the end of Saturday or Sunday's game, I'm excited.
All right, so now the part I've been waiting for, and that you guys may have been dreading watching me like with a big stupid grin on my face as you're answering these questions. Instead of good, bad, ugly, I want to do it like this. Dan, what's your glass half full perspective on the game?
You do realize who the other co-host is on the podcast, right? Like, this glass half full is not going to work.
Oh, yeah. Because you know, I mean, you guys have basically done this already just without me prompting it, but just official now.
My glass half full. It's multiple things. The versatility of this roster to have Lawrence Wyke step in as a mm-hmm. center back and perform pretty well, given the circumstances and the different pieces, having Junior Etsu be able to step in next to Hilton. So all that versatility already in the first game of the season, unfortunately, was on full display. They did very well of controlling that game and keeping Birmingham from getting some real good chances, like I said. So I think a point on the road in Birmingham, given all those circumstances and everything, it was decent for what it is in the scheme of things. So that's where I'm at.
All right. And I'm going to switch this up every week. Like, you're not always getting glass half full, and Steven's not always getting glass half empty. It's just the way it's going to work for this one. Steven, your glass half empty take on the game.
You know, what's funny is I've actually got a better take on glass half full. Go figure. Okay. Center midfield shambles. I think that's my glass half empty because we couldn't generate any meaningful offense. And a lot of it's, again, it's early season jitters, right? It's you got to get yourself into a groove of things. None of these guys are there yet. I'm not trying to like pour salt into some open wound type of thing. I know it's going to come across that way because I'm always a grouch, but like Junior Eto'o and Jan Ekra in particular gave up. They had a lot of unforced errors in the match, and it wasn't like the same type of unforced error where it was just bad touches on dribbles allowed an opposing defender to come in and easily challenge for a ball, and it kind of broke up an offensive chance, or just a pass that was behind its intended target. Some of them still recorded as successful plays, but it was not very clean, and there were a lot of instances of it during the match, and it really kind of ruined a lot of potential offense. So that's my glass half full take, is the oh god in the midfield.
Yeah, the one thing I kind of noticed that too, the passing was especially in like the middle of the match, kind of late first half, maybe a little bit into the second half, passing was not so great. The counterpoint to that in my mind was like the mistakes and the issues we had were kind of like of our own creating, which means they're correctable. They're things you can beat out in training and get rid of. It wasn't like they were run off the pitch by Birmingham's players, and Birmingham's a good team. I mean, we talked about some guys, Johnny Dean, you know, had some moments, but didn't take over the game like he could. Some of the other guys we talked about, that Kaler and I talked about, like Anderson Acedu, you know, he mentioned Marlon Santos, like, okay, but if we're going to draw on a goal of the week candidate that I didn't bother watching the rest of the other ones submitted, I just said that's it. I'm not going to see a better goal out of USL this week than, could be a lot worse. Could be, and I suspect will be a lot better. Could be a lot worse. And then like what Dan said about Lawrence Wyke, like, and I said it a few minutes ago that, you know, we played 75 something minutes with Lawrence Wyke on the back line. It kind of sounds like it's like I'm ripping him. Like, no, he's played that position before, but that's not what he's been training to do in all preseason. That's not what he prepared to do for this game, and to shift back there at first. And the way Neil kind of described it in the press conference was, you know, they had to get Castellanos off the field. So in that moment, Wyke was like the best option to someone to drop back and play there. And then while they were assessing Castellanos' condition, whether he'd be able to come back, was there anything that they could do? He kind of said, look, Lawrence played pretty well those first few minutes, so we just went with that. You could have moved Connor Antley back there. You could have moved Jordan Scarlett over. You could have, there's a number of things you could have done, but Wyke was the band-aid and turned out to be a pretty good band-aid. So he's got that experience. If Castellanos isn't able to come back at, you know, for a little while, do you make a move for another player, or do you say, hey, Lawrence, can you fill in back there? Like, how many games would Castellanos have to be out for you to say, let's go make a move? How many games are you comfortable with saying, hey, Lawrence, just do your thing back there?
I would make a move now. I don't, if he's missing any more than a week, like, because even when he comes back, do you want to be in this situation again? You know, like, I mean, there's also Aaron Guillen and Jordan Scarlett. Like, we are very thin. Yeah, and Wyke, Antley, Timmy Mills on the roster. There's options, but like, why not have a specialized center back there? You know, and if have carry one extra on the roster just in case this does happen again. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm overly cautious, but I would like to hopefully, you know, one comes in, but I don't expect it.
At this point, I wouldn't expect it either. I mean, it's trying to find a center back after everybody's domestic leagues have already started is basically an impossible task at this point. So, like, but this is something we've talked about, like, even last year, was the what-if horror question of what if Forrest Lasso goes down hurt in a game or gets a red card in a game, and who steps into that role? Because, like, even last year, we didn't really have an answer for that. If that was to happen last year, or I think even hypothetically 2 years ago, it was the same problem. It was like there was really nobody that was a clear-cut person to go in and fill that spot in particular. So, like, and that's something we talked about is the small roster. Like, we have a great roster, don't get me wrong, but it's not an MLS team. There's not 30 people or whatever signed up to contracts where you have more than two players for every position on the field. You know, it's nowhere near that. In fact, we don't even have a full replacement 11 players on this roster for every position on the field. So, and haven't for, I think, two seasons now. So, like, I think it's one of those luxury things that I just don't expect is going to happen at this point. So, as far as what happens for the Rowdies, if Castellanos is down for a significant length of time, look, Wyke performed admirably in that role in the pinch. Do you do it for the full outset for a game? Because remember, Connor Antley, if I'm not mistaken, is covering... No, he played on the right-hand side. So Sebastian Delgaard was covering Jonathan Dean. All right, yeah. It's a weird... Because some of that's a tactical matchup in the moment. Who's covering what player on the opposite team on that wing? Can you afford to drop Antley back there compared to who would be replacing him, and how does that individual matchup work? Wyke may have worked out for that one particular game just based on who Antley was opposite of against Birmingham. But, you know, when we're talking about, say, Indy this upcoming weekend, is that the same equation? Or can...
No.
You know, can Antley afford to play back there compared to Wyke? So that's one of the things that gets kind of interesting about that question on a game-to-game basis.
I'm just going to say, do we even need a center back against Indy? I mean, they're pretty terrible.
Play a complete two-back system. There you go.
Yeah, just put Scarlett and Guillen. And, you know, do maybe not even a keeper at this point. Like, I don't even know if they can get a shot on goal. But in all seriousness, no, you're right. And I think I would prefer Connor Antley in the midfield. But he is also that option. And I mean, don't forget, last year in the playoffs, we had Jordan Doherty playing defense at one point. So, like, versatility is key in this roster. And I also think, like, one of the reasons later in the game the link up between the midfield and the forwards wasn't all there is because Hilton was playing a lot of defense and covering those runs as well to give Lawrence Wyke some help. So that drops our main playmaker and the main link between the two halves was, you know, had a bit of a tactical assignment there, and trying to transition was a little rough. But you know, we were already ahead, so there wasn't too big of an issue for me there. But I would love to have just one more center back, no matter how long Castellanos is out, just because I am paranoid and I don't want to keep having to play these matchup games. If it works, you know, whatever. In Neil, we trust.
All right, last words on the game. Any final statements to make?
Props to Cochran for, in his first match, the big thing that we noticed, and especially in a game where you lose your what was presumed to be the starting center back for what was hopefully going to be most of the season, you lose him in like 20 minutes. He did a very good job of taking ownership of the backside in terms of playing aggressively. You know, obviously, besides the one play where he was, you know, 40 yards out and decided to cut off Enzo Martinez on an over-the-top ball, which was, I mean, I loved it because it's Enzo Martinez. So anytime anything bad happens to that guy, I feel great about it because he's just, he's a character, and I love, he's a character. We all know who Enzo is. It's fine. But
that's the polite way of putting it.
It's fine. It's fine because if he's on your team, you love him. So it is what it is, right? So that was great. It was a great moment. But here's the thing. It was Cochran in a game, in a team that does not have much height defensively, especially. And set pieces was always going to be the big concern about this team. Cochran was doing a very, very good job of coming out and playing aggressive on the air ball and making sure to make up for that deficiency we have in that particular regards. So major, major props for him to stepping up and really taking ownership of that deficiency and trying to cover it as best he can, because that was, it made a difference. They did not have anything when it came to set pieces during that match because of Cochran specifically, because I'm pretty sure he nabbed almost every cross that went into the box in the entire game. I'm pretty sure he just about covered all of them. Like, it was really, really impressive performance.
There's one I distinctly remember still from the second half where, and you know, we are already getting used to a guy who's going to come out just a little bit off his line from time to time, which I love, just, you know, him having the confidence to do that. I think two or three times we saw him come way off his line to get involved in the game. But there was a corner that comes in, and there's two or three Birmingham players kind of right near the spot. And I'm kind of getting a little nervous about who's going to get on this, who's going to get their head to it. And all of a sudden, you just see Cochran's in the middle of them, both hands on the ball, where he just came right into the middle of that group and grabbed it out of midair. And both these guys probably had a few inches on him at least. So I was impressed to see that, definitely. Dan, is that one of those, like, spiked Mountain Dews?
It is. It is the hard Mountain Dew Baja Blast flavor, and it is delicious, and I will fight everybody.
So I saw these in the store yesterday. They only come in like the mixed, like 12 packs or something, right? You can't buy like the one flavor on their own.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
So I hear I only have the Baja Blast is like the only good one.
No, they're all pretty tasty. If I mean, like the regular Mountain Dew tastes like sugar-free Mountain Dew because they are zero sugar and contains 5% alcohol by volume. And they are delicious, especially like you order some Taco Bell and then, you know, slam some Baja Blasts. Great night.
All right, so anyone out there still trying to figure out what to buy for my birthday in 2 days, some Taco Bell and a case of the hard Mountain Dew. Just ship it on over. I'm good.
Imagine liking Mountain Dew. Oh,
God. Some of us have taste, Stephen.
Yes, but then there's Dan.
There's also some other abomination alcoholic beverage somebody tweeted that I want to try.
What was it, Dan? You remember?
Don't remember, and I'm very sad because I was like, I need it. It looks terrible, man, and I need it.
What a cliffhanger that is! Jeez.
Yeah, scroll back to this.
I've had an eventful week, so my memory is not all there of everything that's happened.
Speaking of things that taste good, let's talk about Taco Bus. Taco Bus proudly delivers a healthy, fresh, authentic Mexican taste experience to our Florida fans. Just one bite of a burrito, tostada, or quesadilla, and your taste buds will be singing traditional Mexican folk songs. Visit us today at one of our 12 locations, and remember, you keep it chido. All right, the next segment, and I feel like I'm just like running over everything, but I just kind of dropped something in here last second, and I do have to leave early, so I will run it for a little while, and then I'll leave you guys to finish it off. There, I don't know, not much in the way of, in terms of league or club news, just, nobody on the, on the team of the week, nobody up for goal or save or anything else, but I did want to run through, I know usually we kind of focus on, you know, the last couple of years it's been who's in our group, who's in the conference. I'm just going to run through all the games from last weekend real quick and see if anything jumps out as notable to you guys. First up, Loudoun United hosting Rowdy's upcoming opponent, Indy 11. Loudoun wins 1-0. Charleston 1-0 over Tulsa. Memphis dropped 3-0 to Pittsburgh. Miami 2-0 over Red Bulls 2. By the way, Red Bulls 2 and Atlanta 2 are in action tonight, and no one cares. Louisville City 1-0 over Atlanta 2. Colorado Springs wins the 24-7 championship off Orange County with a 2-1 win. RGV knocks off Oakland, Juan Guerra's new team, 1-0. San Antonio beats Detroit in Detroit City's first USL game. Phoenix 4-2 over Monterey Bay. Sacramento 3-1 over El Paso. And San Diego 2-1 over the Galaxy. Those were all on Saturday. Sunday, the late game after the Rowdies Legion game was New Mexico and Las Vegas. And New Mexico won 2-0 because Vegas might have nice new shirts, but they're still Vegas when they wear them. Nothing, no big surprise there, honestly. None of those games.
No. I mean, maybe Loudon over Indy.
That's not a surprise.
Is it a surprise that Loudon only scored one? Like, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I mean, Loudon was never great that last year, but Indy's kind of been I would say up and down, but that implies there'd been some ups, and there hasn't been a whole lot of ups. And we talked about it last week, I think on the show, like, sure, they got Mark Lowry, but they really haven't put together like a Mark Lowry kind of roster yet. So I'm not really sure how good they're going to be.
I will say this. I think my surprise was not specifically that Pittsburgh beat Memphis 3-0, in general, but that it was a 3-0 scoreline. That kind of surprises me. I thought Memphis would have been a little bit better of a match. I mean, that kind of ended up being a blowout in a way. And that wasn't something I specifically would have expected early in a season. Not when everybody still got early jitters and things like that. Like, I don't know if that speaks more to Memphis maybe starting just having a bad night on a potentially decent season, or if Pittsburgh is just really that scary good. Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at the most, I think.
Well, I remember last year, like, Memphis was pretty rough for a while, and they put it together right at the end to kind of sneak into the playoffs, if I remember correctly. But we're not there for very long. I don't know. Pittsburgh had an extra week of offseason once their playoff game got canceled. Maybe chalk it up to that or something. I don't know. If I had to pick a surprise, I would say Phoenix over Monterey Bay 4-2, because I was not aware that Monterey Bay started this year. I thought they were a next year team. Other than that, I mean, we knew Sacramento was going to be better this year. We knew El Paso might struggle with the changes they had. Everything else, I mean, maybe Louisville only winning 1-0 over Atlanta 2 in Louisville. A little surprise, but again, it's first week of season. Like, you know, what was it Neil said last year? Like, the first 2 or 3 weeks, it's hard to make any, you know, definitive declarations about teams from those times. Next up, the current standings, as fundamentally useless as they are, because we're 1 week in and some teams haven't even played yet. The playoff teams right now, if the playoffs started today, Pittsburgh, Miami, Louisville, Charleston, Loudon, all technically tied for first with one win. You can go look at goal difference also. Tampa Bay and Birmingham with 1 point each. Those would be your playoff teams. Hartford has not played yet. And then your bottom teams, Atlanta, Red Bulls, Detroit, Indy, Memphis, Tulsa. Honestly, like, not surprised by that. Maybe at the end of the season, maybe Hartford gets into that conversation instead of Loudon, but other than that, it feels like we're pretty much at the end. Can we just go ahead and start the playoffs now? Let's go ahead and get it going. Detroit fans will disagree.
No, we're too low in the standings.
Well, you know, it's just a road game. We get that'd be us in Miami, though. Or would we be there? They're doing play-in this year, right? With since you have 7 teams making it?
I don't know. Something also, like the tiebreakers are all weird again, and I don't know.
All right.
No, first team has a number one seed as a bye week, so we would play Louisville if the game if it ended right now.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. We just undefeated against them last 2 years in the playoffs. I'll take that. Just can we just start at the 86 minute and put Lucky in?
Yeah, there you go.
That'll work. It's hard to really say anything about the standings. Again, it's one game. Our next game up, Indy 11, this weekend, the home opener. It's going to be some fun stuff going on. They've got banner reveals for the Eastern Conference and the regular season championship. I'm a big fan of that. Having those up there, that'll be fun. Indy 11, new head coach, Mark Lowry. We have not seen Indy in a couple years. I'm trying to. I did that thing last week with Kaler, and I'm trying to do it every week. I'm trying to get an Indy person to talk about the team, but I'm running out of time this week because it's the end of spring break, and I'm trying to get everything crammed in that I haven't done so far, which is quite a lot, with a lot of stuff to do. But they brought in Mark Lowry, formerly from El Paso, had El Paso in the Western Conference Finals, the last 2 years? 3 years? 2 years? Something like that. Was at Jacksonville Armada before, back in NASL days. We've played his teams before. We know that he can put together a good side, and his tactics are solid, too. Indy's last game, like we just mentioned, they lost 1-0 to Loudoun United. The last time these two teams played was a 1-1 draw at Al Lang on October 12th, 2019. It's been a little while. Stat leaders, there's not a lot. No one scored a goal yet. They've got two players with one shot apiece. No goals means no assists. Three players have created one chance each, and their goalkeeper has saved two shots. So, if this tells you anything else you need to know about Loudoun, Loudoun won 1-0, and Indy had two saves. Not the offensive masterclass going on there between either of those two sides.
It's like watching Swansea play, you know, just like a relegation battle.
Yo, yep. Oh.
Yes.
Like, it's like a combination of Swansea versus Everton, and the loser gets Arsenal.
Ooh, I mean, I wasn't going to make an Everton shot because of David Morales, and I'm trying to fix those icy relations and that fake feud we have going on. You know, screw
it. To make that on your behalf.
But I hope Everton get relegated. There's only one real team in Liverpool.
Well, two, because you've got Liverpool and then you've got Liverpool women.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And, you know, isn't Tranmere Rovers in the, you know, from the Merseyside? And, like, they're better than Everton, too.
Yeah. There's a couple non-league sides that Everton will be joining soon, so.
Anyway, Indy is pretty bad with their Pigeon Lady mascot shield thing. I don't know. But just... I don't know. Let's just start a feud now. I'm in.
How has nobody done this Indy statue with bird droppings just like streaking all down it? Oh my gosh.
Or just the Pigeon Lady from Home Alone 2. Just like that's her, like give her a shield or something and that's it. Like, right, you know?
If the statue has a bunch of droppings, then Indy should sign the pigeon because at least the pigeon can hit the target.
Man, the quality of this show goes down every second.
We've got a game coming up this weekend, and here we are, like, statues are catching strays now.
I mean, there's nothing on the field about Indy that's worth talking about, so you got to hit him where it hurts.
I'm going through the roster. Like, there's a lot of guys on the roster that are, you would call them Lowry guys because he had them, like, you know, 6 or 7 years ago in Jacksonville. I don't know. You know, I guess that's one good way to get your tactics and your team culture across is bringing some of these guys in you've had experience with, but not going to pay immediate dividends on the field in terms of points, but we'll see. I mean, literally, like, all the names I recognize are, like, I'm like, I remember that guy from NASL. Stefano Pino, Meshack Jerome, Iozzi, like the. They have an AJ Cochran in defense. I wonder, any relation?
I don't know. Probably not.
Is CJ a variant of AJ? Is there a BJ?
All I'm saying about this matchup that I think is the, I don't know if this is even going to be a factor, but I think it's a funny commentary. The game in Loudoun, I'm pretty sure there was like snow built up on the sides because they had to like scrape the field or whatever. Like it was basically right around 32 degrees for that game kickoff. Yeah,
midweek about that the temperatures were predicted to be in the low 30s for that game.
Yeah. Our kickoff high temperature, well, not kickoff high temperature, but our high temperature on Saturday is 82. Like, welcome to Florida, boys. it kind of almost like, you almost wonder if that's going to actually play a factor, is coming into an 80 degree March second game of the season after you play a game in the 30s to open the season. Like, you almost wonder if that'll end up being a thing to look at as a factor.
I mean, looking at the Indy weather right now, because assuming they're training in it right now, it's, you know, mid to low 70s for highs. And although it is going to be 48 on Saturday in Indy, but they'll conveniently for them not be there. I don't think it'll be that big of a deal. It'll feel like home for us, and it will hopefully help us more than it hurts them, is what I would hope for.
I just want to say well played, Steven, on bringing the weather into like a tactical soccer play. Like this, that was a good sweet spot, man. I applaud you for that one.
Well, thank you.
He's just testing out stuff for Saturday for the pregame show.
Yeah, I mean that's what we need is like a weather map green screen that we can just put up and let Steven go full weatherman. Not the tactics board, weather maps.
Bet we can pull that off.
I'm all for it.
Listener questions. I think we kind of hit the ones we had before. Let me, let's see if we have any other listener questions. Well, we got a couple.
Carlos said, what went wrong on Saturday and what's going to have to happen to fix it?
A well-lit field.
Father time is what's going to fix it. It was first game of the season. Like there are, let's, like I said, Neil said it perfectly. And as he usually does, there's a reason why he's the head coach and people like us are on a podcast on a Wednesday night. Like if this game was played in the middle of the season, that would be an atrocious thing. And there'd be some serious questions to be asked all over the field. It's game one. It's rarely going to look good. So, or at least if it looks bad, it's somewhat excusable. We always talk about every single year we talk about on this show, the first third of the season, you're just trying to get points however you can get points. You know, that's all it is. You want to settle down into your system by about a third of the way into the year. You should have, if you're going to be successful for the season, that's when you start focusing on really settling into your system and start getting positive results on a roll. Beginning of the year, you are scratching and clawing for anything you can get, and that's your priority. So the father time is the answer at the moment. I don't think there was anything structurally wrong per se that I took away from that match. So that's my answer to that question.
Can father time play center back? Can we get a short-term loan?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, you know, maybe game, I don't know, the third of the season. So not how many games are in a season? Was it
34,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, everything, the reconference line, I'm lost again. But anyway, 34, so yeah, I would say, you know, give us some time. I mean, it's going to be a long season, and it's not like we're going to be playing these guys 5-6 times a year again. Like, just let us get our legs under us. Let's not hit a panic button anytime soon.
All right. Well, with that, I am going to have to dash out of here and go pick up the pod daughter from volleyball practice. I'll leave you guys to finish this off. Whatever is
we can wrap it up.
Oh, just go ahead and wrap it up.
Anything else? Like, I think, you know.
Do we want to do predictions for Indy?
Yeah, we better.
Yeah.
Didn't one of us predict a 1-1 scoreline for last week? I thought one of you guys did, didn't you?
Dan produced. Was it?
This I knew guy. You did.
That's what draw. I thought. That's what I thought. Yeah. So Dan is 1-0. Congratulations, sir.
I think I went 3-1 for the Rowdy, so I get a point for getting the opposition score correct.
Yeah, we need to figure out a point system for this. We need to have like an actual competition for this year. I decree it.
Make it so.
All right.
All right. So predictions for this week?
Predictions. I'm going to go conservative. Shocking, I know. I'm going to go 1-1.
What?
I mean, the Rowdies the Rowdies have a historical knack for going 1-1 in season openers, so that kind of feels like that's a safe bet anyway. So, yeah, here you go.
I'm going to say 2-0 Rowdies.
Well, I'm going to split the baby and go 2-1 Rowdies.
Sounds good. And then we got a pregame show to do on Saturday, boys.
We got a lot of stuff to do on Saturday.
Yeah, we do.
To do before and after. Yeah, if for some reason you listen to this, you probably follow us on Twitter. But if you do or you don't, whatever, and you haven't seen me like tweeting endlessly about it, Friday is my birthday, and I will be celebrating on Saturday. Before, during, and after the game. So, yeah, let's hang out. If not before, during, then come find me over at Corrigan's after. I'll be there for a little bit. I have a concert in Tampa to go to the next day, so I'm not going to stay out super late because I still have to come home, turn around, and drive up to Tampa the next day. And I'm old, so I don't do that anymore.
All right. Well, we love yous for this week, guys. I mean, there's one obligatory we love you, and that's Matt, because it's your birthday, sir.
Yes.
So that's the obligatory we love you. But
I mean, we have another one.
All right. What's the... I want to know what the other one is.
Well, it's Lawrence Weick, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
And also Dan for getting engaged. Good Lord.
Oh, that's a pity we love you if I ever heard one.
it's a giant mistake on Casey's part. It's just bad tactics. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's getting sacked in the morning in this case.
Bad tactics.
I mean, it is terrible tactics on this case. It's like losing to Loudon.
Oh, man. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap things up for tonight. Thank you to Wolfface for the great introduction music, to Radio St. Pete and Shamrock Pub. Radio St. Pete, of course, our live outlet for these shows. Shamrock Pub for providing a great on-location occasional show, and Corrigan's as well for being a good on the show on live production. Now, Matt's raising his hand, and I'm assuming that the reason he's raising his hand is because I'm pretty sure we have like a Wednesday night game next week.
Maybe, but I was just going to say Shamrock Pub's having their annual St. Patrick's Day party again this year. First time in, I think, 2 years. I will be out there. I will actually be pouring beers from 7 to 10, but I'll be out there a little bit before and a little bit after because I'll wait there till midnight and have a birthday beer. So if you're in the Sarasota Bradenton area, want to come hang out, looking for something to do on St. Patrick's Day, come down to The Rock. It is the best party in the area. And maybe get someone besides me to pour your beer because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Now, that being said, it is a Wednesday night game next week. The Rowdies are at Atlanta. As Ooh, an FYI. Okay. You can tell by the sound of our voice that we totally prepared for this weeks ago.
Well, I'll see your FYI and raise you an F-U-A-T-L.
Fair. I'll take it. And you should be taking that and sharing it and subscribing to the show because of it and giving us a positive rating because of that comment and a positive review for that comment. Because all of that will then help us get in front of the other members of the Rowdies fan base and people that might be interested in this podcast. So every little bit of that helps. Patreon, if you want to take your level of support to the next level, Patreon is the best way to do that. You can do as little as simply $1 a month. So for a whopping 12 bucks a year. Every little bit helps us cover the costs of all the subscription services we have to do to run this little program. If you want to take that to the dedicated levels, you can go all the way up to like $10 a month, and that's like your executive producer level for the show. Tonight's executive producer, we didn't mention it earlier, is Kevin Vicario. So thank you, Kevin, as always, for being a longtime member of Unused Substitutes executive producer level Patreon. We absolutely love and adore your support, as always. Thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And if you are tired of the same old uniforms and cookie-cutter templates from Nike and Adidas, and you are looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or even a pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. All right. We have a very busy weekend coming up here. So we will see everybody at Corrigan's. We'll see everybody at Al Lang before, during, and after the show. Guys, it's a season opener time.
Finally.
Finally. Though it feels like, I mean, granted, we just had our season party, what, 2 weeks ago. So it kind of feels like we've already been there once already. I've already been there twice. So at this point, it's just kind of like, all right, I'm there again. It's going to be good to see everybody back, though. Like, everybody.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Not just the season ticket holders.
Not just that group of people. I mean, imagine being around those people all the time.
Yeah, I know.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your night. We'll see you this weekend, and go Rowdies.
The rowdies are kicking the grass.